going to start the shiur, and Frank's going to add some points as well. So we try to divide it up, hopefully in an intelligent way. So this week's parsha is the parsha where the Torah talks about the concept of a Shabbos Aveda. So there's no finders, keepers, losers, weepers in the Torah. There's a chiyuv of a Shabbos Aveda. The Torah gives two mitzvahs in regards to Shabbos Aveda. The Torah gives a mitzvah asay, hashev to shivim, to return it. The Torah strengthens that with the lav. You're not allowed to ignore it. So, obviously I won't take it for myself. I just walk by and ignore it. So, you're not allowed to ignore it. The more there's out there are scenarios where you are allowed to. But in general, the Torah is mechayev me to get involved and to return it. But the Torah introduces, in the midst of a Shabbos Aveda, my responsibilities are three stages. And number one, I have to pick it up. Number two, I have to maintain it, which means in a safe place. I have to maintain it that it shouldn't get damaged, etc. And then I have to do the process of returning it in a responsible way. I can't say, well, I think you're the owner, probably you're the owner, I'll give it back to you. I actually have a responsibility to make sure I give it back to the right owner. Once I pick it up and take a responsibility for it, I cannot then use my own discretion who to give it to. I have to give it in a way which I feel confident of giving it to the true owner. I'm representing the true owner, and therefore I have to make sure that he is the one who gets it. So there are really three stages in the process. The first stage is that you have responsibility to pick it up. So are there scenarios where you don't have to pick it up? So there's a scenario where we'll say, if I can't get to stage three, maybe I shouldn't start stage one. If the third step is an actual returning of the item, so if I'm not going to be able to do that, so maybe I don't have to start. So, for example, an item which doesn't have a siman, and I have no way to return it to prove who the owner is, so I'm not mechuyev, according to many opinions, I'm not mechuyev to pick it up to start with. Because I'm never going to be able to return it.
Did you ever assume that an object is hefker and then take it?
So that's another step, right? So there's a scenario, even though I don't assume the item is hefker, but I still have a responsibility to pick it up. So I'm picking up something which I believe I'm going to be able to go through the process of returning it. So then I have a responsibility to pick it up and then to maintain it and then to return it. If I find something after a long period of time, it looks like it's been there for a while, and probably the owner has decided to just ignore it. He's not just necessarily in pursuing getting it back. That's called yush. I don't have to pick it up. So if it's in the case, there's such an indication. If the item is found in a place where probably the owner would be mayayish, even if it's been a short period of time, the owner would be mayayish because it's not a safe area. So if you drop some money, so he doesn't expect to get it back. Right? So his attitude is going to be, even though it's been there for a short, brief period of time, probabilities are that he's not going to get it back. So he's miyayish. However, the Gemara comes along and adds interesting discussion that the yish only works if the person's aware that he lost it. So the person's aware that he lost the money, he's miyayish, probably not going to get it back, he has no siman on it, it's not in a safe place, people will take it for themselves. I lose money in the shul. No, people aren't going to steal it. Yeah, but there's a night crew coming in over there. Maybe they're going to take it. So, but is the person aware that he lost it? So the more it discusses, the next question is, can we assume the person is aware that he dropped it? If he's aware, we could probably says he probably is miyayish, then I'm not mechuyev to pick it up, and then I can take it for myself.
Which pasuk
is this? This is about Metziah in the second parak, and the Metziah. So the more introduces the concept called Yish Lamidas. If the person's not aware, it doesn't count. You can't say, well, if he would have known, he would have. But he didn't, then he didn't. So we pass on Yish Lamidash Lahabi Yish. But the Gemara says there are certain things we assume people are aware of, that they dropped money. The person usually is aware of the fact that he dropped money. He becomes aware very, very, very shortly thereafter. Chazon Ish extends that to the modern version of that is you find a pen in a shul. Well, the person realizes he lost the pen, he's probably going to be. Chances are getting it back. Big shul. He's not helping me, Ayish. Did he realize that he lost the pen? Yes, you're using your pens constantly. So you're touching it. You're aware that you dropped it. So certain things we can assume a person is aware that he dropped it. Okay, let's say it's something which we assume that he's aware that he dropped it. So there's a concept of Yush. I'm allowed to take it for myself now. If I find it after Yush, I can take it for myself. If I find it before Yush and I pick it up, I cannot take it for myself, even after years. If I found it before years, even after years, I have to hold on to it. So that creates this scenario. I walk into the shul, I find something over there, which is not of great value. It has to be at least worth a pruta. That discussion almost doesn't exist nowadays. Everything's worth a pruta. So I say, you know, he probably didn't realize that he dropped it. I have responsibility to pick it up and give it back. I pick it up and give it back. I make an announcement. We'll discuss how you make an announcement.
So if you find it, obviously, shortly after he dropped it, he hasn't yet come to realize it.
Correct.
So you can't rely on that.
He can't rely on you. So you have a chiyuv to try and give it back. So I pick it up, I make an announcement, and nobody responds to it. So I put up on the shul bulletin board. I maybe put it into the shul announcement. I maybe make an announcement in some around the neighborhood. I put up some signs. Nobody contacts me. So my next step is I have a chiyuv to return it. I have a chiyuv to maintain it until the person comes for it. So now what? So I'm stuck with it. So an interesting question is, can I use it meanwhile? I'll give it back, but meanwhile I want to use it. Or can I take it for myself and I'll replace it? Okay, are you allowed to do that? So Ramosha is interesting. Ramosha says that if it's an item which is commonly available, so he and there's nothing specific about this item per se, so it's an expensive pen. He's not maybe not miyayish on it, but they're available. A Parker pen. You can buy a Parker pen, right? Does he want this Parker pen specifically as opposed to the one that I'll buy him down the road? No. Right? As a matter of fact, if I let it sit for too long, the ink's going to dry out and it's not going to work anyway. So what I accomplished for him? So let me use it, write down all of the information that I have about it so a person could come and claim it, and make a commitment that I will replace it with the item in the future, that item, even though it might cost more in the future, but I'm going to replace the item. So Moshe says you're allowed to do that.
Is that related to the laws on borrowing? If you borrow an item that you just say I need a pen, then you're allowed as a shomer to use it, right? But if you say I need that pen, lend me that pen, then you're not. Is it related to that or not? Is that right? Maybe I may have that mixed up.
Tom, I'm not with you.
Custodian of an item that you borrowed, depending on whether you borrow a specific item or you just say I need an item of that category, whether you can use it or not. That may be
my money. It's more of
is it
cash,
only money?
I thought it
was actually implements.
But it does say the same concept there. Yeah, it's a similar concept, but if you give them
shrewd,
then you can't.
Oh, okay. The person didn't borrow. A person was made a custodian. Okay.
Yeah, well,
okay.
But I guess if you borrow, you become a custodian, don't you? If you're
correct. The question was I was given something to watch, and the question was I was not given specific permission to use. May I use it, assuming that the person is agreeable? So that depends on if he gave me something which is clearly tied up, he doesn't want me to use it, then I can't. Something he knows, I'm a person who, I'm a money lender. I'm a money changer. The person gives me money and he gives it open money, it means he's assuming I'm going to use the money and replace it.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought there was a concept of a general category of the custodian versus a specific item. But I'm confusing it with the borrowing situation. But I may be...
Okay.
I don't mean to get you off course. So.
Okay. On advisement, I'll look into it. See if I can figure out what you're referring to. Okay.
It's a little knowledge is really dangerous.
I just recently sent over to my shir. I'm learning your day now with the Carlo. So that Rabbi Heinemann said a great line. He said, I would eat in the home of a person who never learned your day. I'd eat in the home of a person who learned your day and took a bechina and passed it. I will not eat in the home of a person who learned your day and not finish it yet.
That's funny. Yeah.
So, you know, that's where you get that. Okay, getting back to over here. So so they're going to scenarios where you're not mechiv to pick it up. So the item doesn't have a simon. We assume the owner is miyayish. So if the owner is miyayish, beyond not having to pick it up, I'm allowed to take it for myself. That could be due to the fact that it's lacking a simon and the person's aware that he lost it. Or the place is not safe at all, and therefore probably the person would be miyayish. So the more says you lose it in an irshuba akum, is an item which the akum would be interested in. So if I lose a safer irshuba akum, you still have to do a shava. Right? The guy's not going to say, "Well, let's focus on it like this," you know, mm-hmm. Right? But if I lose something which he might be interested in, its probabilities are they're going to take it. the United States law aside that they're supposed to return things. It's the fact that people make a big deal when people return things, that indicates the fact that people usually don't return things. Big publicity that I return something. Well, big spritz, you're supposed to return something. And the answer is because people don't, right? So we assume that you're Miyayish. Even as a neighborhood which is a Jewish neighborhood, if there's constant traffic through the area, so we assume the person is Miyayish. If the... But it's something which that's not so. We assume the person was not aware of it, or the person, even if they're aware of it, they probably assume they're going to get it back. But I'm a Yayish. So I have a chiv to pick it up, and I have a chiv to try and return it. My responsibilities are that I do not need to spend money for the maintenance of the item. If I spend money for the maintenance, the Mora says if it's going to cost money, I have a right to be reimbursed for the money that I spent. But I do need to maintain it. So if it's something which we get too dusty, it's going to start damaging, the dust is going to settle into the carpet. I have to take the carpet out every month, air it out, bang it out, do something of that sort. Right?
What about spending money to return it?
Yes.
Spend money to return it?
So you're not going to give us money to return it. So let's say they're asking me to make it, as I put an advertisement in the newspaper. So if that's going to cost money, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Or let's say you find the person and he lives in a different city and he wants you to come bring it to him.
So I could charge him.
But do you have to come bring it to him?
If he's willing to reimburse me, yes, I have a key to return.
Yeah. You can't say you have to come to me.
I'm not aware of that. I don't know. That what the love is over there, but it seems to be you're do the tircha of the process of getting it to him. Okay, can I abdicate my responsibility by giving it to the lost and found, to the police, or something of that sort? Something which I believe is a Jewish item, and they'll keep it till the real owner comes. If I believe that they're going to do due diligence to make sure they're giving back to the real owner, so I'm allowed to do that. If I cannot be confident that that's going to be so, then I cannot do that. So that's my second stage. What is the due diligence? The person has to make some type of announcement over a period of time, which he can assume probably people found out about it. Rabbi said, you can come in and wash.
We're at the big lunch now.
So. Okay, you can come in and listen also. We don't charge extra. If after a period of time, which I believe that people not know about it, nobody responds, I do not have to continue trying to announce it, but I cannot keep it myself, and I have a chiv to hold it for the owner. That's this concept called Yehimunach Hashem Eliyo, which without too much talking about, that point in time, it becomes a tircha. I can then exchange it for something else, assuming it's not a very specific, personalized type of an item. Okay, so that's some of the concepts. Obviously, there's a lot more to cover. I think Rabbi Frank has some things he wants to share with us. Mincha is 1:45. We got 5-7. You got 7 minutes.
Last year at some point, I received a letter. The letter was from someone I believe lived in Toronto, Jewish fellow, and he sent me a letter that he located that I had a bank account which I had forgotten about. I lived. Right after I got married, I lived in Lakewood for 3 months, and then I moved to Edstrahl, and then to Los Angeles, whatever. So I had opened the bank account in Lakewood, and I thought I had closed it, and I apparently had not. And I had left like $100-something in that bank account. So this guy wrote me a letter, and he wrote in his letter that he does this. He does this as a mitzvah. He goes through, trolls through, you know, a bank account that had been left untouched for about however long it is, 10 years, the state appropriates it. And then we'll eventually keep it if no one claims it. So he goes, once the state appropriates it, he checks through the name, that if it looks like a Jewish name, he reaches out to that person. So he sent me a letter, and it's sure enough, it was my bank account. And it was like, wow, what an interesting mitzvah to do. So I tried to actually get that money back, and that was hopeless, because you had to have documentation that, like, I had to find a bill from when I lived in Lakewood. I was there 3 months, you know, so whatever. It didn't work, but it could have worked. So when I got that letter, I was thinking about, you know, this is an interesting kind of a Shabbos Aveda, because he didn't find that money, and he didn't pick it up from the street like a typical Aveda. He just had knowledge that I had money, which I had lost, so to speak. Now, the Gemara has a case like that.
The Gemara is a case like that, and it's when you start thinking of the ramifications of the case, it gets very interesting. The Gemara's case is you're passing by your friend's field, and you see that it's starting to flood and get damaged, and you have the ability to prevent. You know, you can stop the turn off the water or something like that. Stop. So the Gemara says you're obligated to do that because we have a ribui. We learn from a pasuk that the obligation of Hashavas Aveda is not only on objects, which the pasuk talks about. It also applies to land. But in the land situation, it's obviously a very different kind of case, because in the case of an object, you pick it up, you become obligated to care for it and take care of it. By the land, you're not doing anything, you're not picking it up, it's not becoming you. You're just knowledgeable of impending disaster, and that obligates you to take care of it. So that was the kind of obligation this guy had and was fulfilling. Now, when you think of that, so then start thinking of all the ramifications of that. So let's start with what the Gemara says. You walk by your neighbor's lawn, and you see he left his hose on. Okay, so you're obligated to stop your car, park, get out, close it. Fine. Let's say it's not your neighbor. You drive down the block, and you see it's a Jewish house, right? It has full garbage cans and minivan, whatever. You know it's a Jewish house. And you pass by in the morning, and the sprinkler's on. You pass by in the afternoon, and the sprinkler's on. So clearly they have forgotten to turn off their sprinkler, or they left it on. So now you don't only have to turn it off, you can't turn it off. So you have to figure out whose house it is. It's your obligation. You have to figure out whose house it is and give them a call and let them know that their sprinklers are on, or if someone leaves his car lights on. Right? Same thing. It's that you're witnessing impending damage. You have an obligation to do something to prevent that damage from occurring. And again, if you have knowledge that it belongs to a Jew, you have to track the guy down. It's one thing if it's parked outside his house, right? It's no big deal. You can knock on the door. But the obligation, it's just a question of a couple of minutes and a pain in the neck, but it's a mitzvah. So it's fascinating. But what gets more interesting, and where it gets like touchy, is when the damage is a little bit more insidious. So let's say you're at work, and the guy next to you is appropriating office supplies without permission. To a bigger degree than he's allowed to, right? So he's walking home with piles of paper clips every day, or whatever he's doing. You know, there's a lot of different ways to appropriate office supplies, or he's using the copy machine too much, you know, much more than is allowed by the office, or he's making long distance calls, all different kinds of things. He's doing it. He's right next to you, and the business is run by a Jewish owner. Let's keep it simple. Jewish owned business. You're obligated to tell him. You could tell him to stop first. He might not listen, and if he doesn't listen, you're actually obligated to tell the owner what's going on to save him from the damage that's happening to him. So that is a very difficult position to be in, but that's a Hashavas Aveda. It's an obligation of Hashavas Aveda, and it has the same rules of Hashavas Aveda, which means that if you see it and you don't do anything about it, you're over Elisa Seila Suchalu Salim. It's not like you could just say, okay, I won't do this mitzvah.
Does the damage have to be something that's obvious and undisputable? Because there's always like, you know, is this a problem? In other words, he might want that employees to take things. So
no, I'm talking about like, it's, you know, the company has put out a memo. We've noticed that paperclips are missing, you know, please don't take more. You know, without saying you have no question about it. You're right, when it gets questionable. And, you know, I could tell this to some people and they say, what if I'm doing it too? That doesn't absolve you from this obligation. You have to own up to your own gezeilah. It's just a different mitzvah, right? One is l'sigzol and one is l'suchel l'sal. It doesn't change the fact, yeah. So if you tell the owner on this guy, he'll probably tell on you too. So maybe it's time for a general kind of tshuva. But it's an interesting thing. Now, so much so, where the Paiskim discuss that, let's say it's on Shabbos, and a guy has left his lights on in his house, and he's away for Shabbos, or he's left his lights on in his car, and he's away. And you have access, you're a neighbor, you have a key, and it's Shabbos. Are you obligated to try to get a non-Jew to turn it off in the way that is permitted? We'll keep out of the Hilchos Shabbos part of this. But up to that extent, to try to do something to protect this person's possessions. And if you can, if there's a way to do it. And the loss of money is significant. A guy leaving on his lights in his house is usually not such a big deal. But sometimes it can be a very significant amount. Let's say you know he's away for a week, away for 2 weeks. He left, or if his lights on in the car, obviously that's going to make a big hefset for him. He's going to, you know, they'll have to change the battery or whatever it is. that is something which you are possibly obligated to do.
Are these only for financial issues, or what are there other issues that are beyond financial?
Okay, so the Gemara is another Gemara. This is one Gemara. This is Gemara above Metzia that talks about your field flooding. There's another Gemara Baba Kama that talks about when someone's lost. Are you obligated to go over to him and find him, lead him to his where he's trying to get to? And the Gemara says that that's called Avedas Gufay. He lost himself. He lost his body. You have to return that to him too. And some Paiskim extrapolate from that spiritual damage too. A person, right? No, so a person is lost. But even though, say, a person is not lost, but he's doing something which he has no knowledge, he doesn't even realize that he's doing an Avera, so there is, besides the obligations of a Chayav Techiach, and besides all those other obligations there are to help someone out spiritually, there's an obligation to find him. To find him spiritually. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Yeah.
We have a
For example, I have when I leave yeshiva at night time, I turn off all the lights.
Okay, right. There you go.
I hold that's
the
noise.
Physical objects.
Right.
There's another limit, right? If something showed up, you have to pick it up and give it back, right?
Yeah.
But you mentioned by the light situation, like if it's a significant loss, then why are we looking for significant? Even if it's a penny.
If it's Shabbat Prusa, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I was assuming that a lot of times lights, if it's like one night, I don't even know if it's a Shabbat Prusa. I mean, maybe it is. I don't even know. But is it?
No, it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's actually the question all the way around. If they still have ballasts, replace them with the ballasts, the more times it's on or off, the quicker the ballasts go off. The cost of the ballasts replaced, it's quicker than the amount of electricity.
Right. I think it's not making this much money. Right. So keep it simple.
All right.